We all want our computers and computer networks to be safe and secure. Same is true for our government. But as we all so well know, the federal government will often do things on the cheap. Our next guest joins us to explain how and why that's created a major security risk for our government's computer networks. And, oh, by the way, you may also be prone to a Chinese hack attack if you chose to take a similar path at your office or at-home setup. Here with the details is Vice President of the Lexington Institute, Dr. Rebecca Grant. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Glad to talk to you about the latest from China.
Oh, yes, and, well, they're consistent. We can give them that, at least. LexingtonInstitute.org. Learn about this and other issues you probably don't hear about as often enough, if at all, that you really need to be aware of. And the Lexington Institute is indeed giving you that information and facts about this. So, innocently enough, government wants to set up computer systems. There's really no different than the person listening to us right now. You want to have the basic equipment. One of those pieces of basic equipment is a router. Now, like I said in the introduction, our government tends to do things frugally, let's say. I'll be a little more kind than I was before. And therein lies a problem, because what they've chosen for equipment is turning into not the open-door policy of diplomacy that we were hoping for with China, was it?
Not exactly. And real big focus here is on some bad Chinese network routers. And so this week, the House of Representatives actually passed on a unanimous vote legislation that will ask the Commerce Department to make a list of these bad routers and then ultimately find out where they are. And we think that's going to include NASA, also the Pentagon, and a couple of other government offices and agencies. And then what will happen next is that this law is going to require the government to rip and replace the routers. So it's a good step forward.
Although not exactly with expediency. This is a process, as they like to say. Is there anything, too, in how this is going to be addressed that the federal government doesn't want to make China mad at us any more than we're going to by doing this and accusing them for what we're accusing them of? But is this not the time for caution? It's just the time to do this as fast as possible to prevent anything bad from happening?
Yeah, it's time to do this as fast as possible. And I really like what one of the congressmen, John Molinar, he's from Michigan, had to say. And he says, you know, this week we are drawing a line in the sand. And with one voice, the U.S. Congress is going to tell Xi Jinping, this is it and no further. So what is so encouraging is that you're seeing both with Democrats and Republicans, they've gotten some classified secret briefings on the cyber threats that China poses. And they have just said, this is it. We have to find where some of this bad tech is and begin to route it out. You know, it's a lot of change, and that's why actually the House has put through 25 separate bills all in one week. They called it China Week. And it covers a range of products, the computer routers we were just talking about, also the giant 170-foot-tall cranes that you see at seaports sometimes. Some of those have turned out to have bad, weird Chinese communications gear on them. Coast Guard let us know about that. So all of this is coming along, and, you know, we just have to do this. We've gotten to a point that China has intruded too much in America's economy and our society, and it's time to start the hard work of getting the bad Chinese stuff out and getting on a new path.
Or just to find a replacement for the Chinese stuff. I had a conversation just recently about how China's trying to manipulate what are called essential minerals, especially for new technology that we have here in the States and around the world. Did any of that legislation, is that going to do anything to either return a fairness and accessibility to essential minerals, which China, by and large, controls the vast majority of, or is it going to cultivate more domestic production of those essential minerals for EV batteries and lithium batteries and just necessities that we need for new technology to continue to prosper?
I am so glad you brought up this, what we call the rare earths, which are the critical minerals that go into manufacturing. China really has been after these, and unfortunately, this is one of the pieces of legislation that didn't quite get there this week. But again, some really strong Democratic and Republican support. In fact, Representative Krishnamurthy, who is from Illinois, Democrat, ranking member on the House Select Committee for China, and he is particularly concerned about seeing that the rare earths get onto the list. You know, I got to just add, China is doing a lot of rare earth mining in Afghanistan now that we're not there anymore. So it is just a global issue, and that is one of the things. One thing that did make it very important is some controls on battery technology. You know, all our new tech, solar, EVs, all this, very dependent on advanced batteries. And this legislation goes after two Chinese battery companies, names them by name, because they are connected to the Chinese military and, of course, to the Chinese Communist Party.
Talking with Dr. Rebecca Grant, Vice President of the Lexington Institute, lexingtoninstitute.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, while it sounds easy to go through computer networks and systems at NASA, the Pentagon, whatever the case may be, and look for, you know, made in China on the router, it's not going to be that simple. Considering, as you mentioned, with Afghanistan, doesn't China have enough connections where they can influence third parties to create equipment that will be useful to China?
Well, exactly. You know, there's kind of no limit to what they can do. And part of the reason China is a concern, they do have a lot of dominance in manufacturing because, of, as we know, they don't pay their people very much, and so they're able to undercut on price. And, you know, what's good here is that with the network routers, for example, there are alternatives. And we have a group here in Washington called the National Institute for Standards and Technology, not a ringing name, but they are the ones that go through and spot the security vulnerabilities that can enable just a simple home or office little router to kind of open the door to everything from denial of service attacks to leaking credentials so someone can get into your network. And the problem is, you know, it kind of only takes one device in a network to open the door to even more trouble. And, you know, then two things happen. You've got a weak Chinese router and then a state-sponsored, okay, we mean Chinese people whose job it is to hack other systems, and you find those state-sponsored hackers in Russia and Iran and North Korea as well. So they can use the weak security in a router to get in. The concern with China, of course, is because they do so much manufacturing. You know, Iran and Russia don't do a lot of manufacturing, but China does so much. And as you pointed out, it's all around the world as well as here in the USA. But, you know, we just have to set the example and start cleaning up our act.
Mentioned in the introduction how you might hear this story and think of it's something that's happening at this high level, but these are consumer products as well. Someone listening right now to us could have one of these routers, and this isn't foreign territory, no pun intended, for consumers, because didn't we see this recently with China-made cell phones and other consumer equipment?
Oh, exactly. You know, when I first learned about this issue, I kind of wanted to run home and pick up my router and see if it was one of those bad ones, right? And the company that's really called out by the Routers Act is, well, of course, you already know that Chinese companies, Huawei and ZTE, their products are banned. But there's a new one. It's called TP-Link, and they sell a lot on all the big internet commerce sites. And as you say, it can be products that we just weren't expecting, you know, that that look like they're good for price and they work well, but in fact, they cause a potential avenue of intrusion. And, you know, it's sort of like you just have to look at everything at this point. And that's why I'm so glad we're seeing some action here in Washington to take the lead on what really is the issue and the tech that we do have to worry about, both at home and in our government systems.
I just find it refreshing that members of Congress are actually so proactive on technology, because in not even the past, the recent past, they seem to be technologically inept, trying to sound like they're still trying to figure out how to work their flip phones.
Oh, that's true. And I am actually very impressed that the House of Representatives, which is, you know, is so divided on so many things, they've had some really good bipartisan activity here with their House Select Committee on China. And that's, they've gone down, just gone down the list, and they are tackling everything from drones. There's a particular Chinese drone maker that is suspicious because of their links again to the Chinese military. And so that's potential, hey, you buy this drone and there might be some surveillance attached. And yet it's really hard, I think, to shut the door after two decades of importing so much from China. And, you know, just a few years ago, we were still hoping that if the Western countries were all friendly to China, that China would change and play by our rules. But Xi Jinping and his gang have made it so clear that they're not going to do that. And so I applaud the congressman for, you know, really getting down into the details. They've done a lot of work in also in biosecurity a number of things that are really targeting the science and technology avenues that China's trying to use against us.
For you listening, as you could probably imagine, China is hoping that no one is watching the actions that they're taking. Well, they'll be disappointed because at least the Lexington Institute is indeed watching the activities that they are taking, perpetrating, committing, and going beyond that as well. And what the Lexington Institute is doing with the work of Dr. Grant and others is presenting the facts and information to those who need to make decisions to stop it and those like you who need to be informed to see how it is going to impact or maybe is impacting you as well. Learn more about this and other issues that really truly matter with facts and reality at lexingtoninstitute.org. She is the Vice President of the Lexington Institute, Dr. Rebecca Grant. Doctor, thank you for informing us, educating us, for being here today.
Thanks. Great to talk with you about China.